This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, find the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, founder and publisher of MaxList. To get your dream job, you need clear goals, great skills, and a good network. You also have to know how to look for work. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month on our show, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest shares how they did it and offers their best job search tips. Our guest today is Zerline Hughes Spruill. She's the Managing Director of Communications at Advancement Project in Washington, D.C. Many people think of LinkedIn as a kind of online resume. However, it's also a publishing platform, and you can use it to share industry news with others. Doing so is not only a way to serve your professional peers, it can even lead to a job offer. That's what happened to our guest this month. In an article you can find on the MaxList website, Zerline says she caught the eye of a recruiter because she posted useful information on LinkedIn every week. A headhunter saw those articles, called her, and today she has a job she loves. Zerline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. And today you are the Managing Director of Communications at Advancement Project. Why do you love your job, Zerline?
Wow, I love my job here at Advancement Project's National Office because I get a chance to work with a team. In previous positions, I was probably, one of a few or had a few interns to work with, but here we've got a team of folk on the communications department where we can collaborate, brainstorm, and try some new things out. I also love the job because I love my boss, and I know a lot of people don't get a chance to say that, but I am working for an executive director who says out loud she loves the people that she works with, she loves the people that she's working on behalf of, and she is just really a fantastic model.
Well, that sounds like the best of both worlds, both a boss that you respect and admire and a team that you get to work with every day. Well, let's talk about your job search, Zerline. In the article you wrote for our website, you shared that you weren't looking for work, but what you did on LinkedIn inspired a recruiter to call you. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So I know that LinkedIn seems a little foggy for some folks, but they've changed over the years where it's very user-friendly and it works like Facebook. And I am now on LinkedIn almost as much as I am on Facebook, posting similar stories, more relevant to the work that I do, the social justice issues that I'm working on behalf of. And just being able to connect with folks on there is just as fun and even more helpful than connecting with the folks and friends that I have on Facebook. So I was posting as a consultant at the time, articles that I had written, events that I helped to manage, or events that I was actually attending on my own. I was reposting the information that colleagues were sharing, and I think it was really to my benefit.
And tell us about the kind of engagement you got. I know you shared in your article that a recruiter called you because the person saw those stories, but what other kinds of engagement did you get when you were visiting LinkedIn so frequently?
Absolutely. So there were, I noticed, more people were interested in linking in, connecting. I was able to meet a few folk on there that were interested in mentoring opportunities, whether being my mentor or asking me to be their mentor. So that was really useful. I also got a chance to hook up with folks that were at the time, like me, consulting, and met several graphic designers or web designers where I could work with them and we could collaborate. So that was also very helpful. And finally, I found folks through LinkedIn, or folks found me through LinkedIn by some of the articles that I posted on my personal blog. I was writing about my experience as a mother, my experience as someone in the social justice movement, and the intersection between the two. So the blog is called Not These Two, and it refers to the fact that not these two children of mine are going to be part of the school to prison pipeline. So there was an increase in blog traffic. There was an increase in folks asking me to write about the issue for their websites and publications. So it was a win-win situation all around.
What inspired you to do this, Sirlene? Because as I mentioned at the start of the show, many of our listeners might think of LinkedIn as a place where you post information about your career history, but that you stopped there. Why did you go further?
Absolutely. Well, when I first began consulting, I realized I was going to have to hustle and find work. And in the beginning, I was going to events maybe two or three times a week with business cards. I wanted to make sure that people knew that I was in the field. And that got tiring after a while. So I took to social media, particularly LinkedIn, just to let folks know that I was still in the game. I'm still, you know, a reputable person in the field of social justice and communications and wanted to work on behalf of the issue. And so I found that I did not have to go out as much. And instead, I could post. I could communicate online, again, on LinkedIn, and I could drum up more work.
Now, you did get that email from the recruiter who saw your posts, and this is something I think we all hope will happen, that we'll be courted by a hiring manager or headhunter. When you got that message, tell us what happened next.
Absolutely. So I got an email through LinkedIn from the recruiter, and she mentioned that she saw my posts, that she was interested in the resume that also was posted on LinkedIn. And so we then began to talk on LinkedIn, transferred over to Gmail, and then, you know, the landline. And I learned more about the position. And though I was not looking for full-time work, it sounded exciting. And so I thought I would give it a chance. But again, wasn't actively looking for professional full-time work in communications and social justice, as I had just left the field 3 years prior. But I thought it was a really great and creative way to interact, to learn about a position. And I felt as though the person on the other side of the phone call, the recruiter, was able to be a little bit more comfortable and answer my questions and offer a little bit more information about the job that was being filled.
In your article for our website, you mentioned that the hiring process went on for a few months. And how did you stay patient during that period, Sirlene? And eventually, how did you know this was the right job for you?
Great question. So it was hard at first because, you know, being in the field of communications, you want things to work very quickly. And of course, when you are, in fact, looking for a position, you want things to work very quickly. Because, again, I wasn't looking for immediate employment, I was able to, you know, try to take it easy, continue with my contracts, but also, you know, continue with the continual steps in the interview process. There were several steps. There was the recruiter phone call / interview. Then there was the informational interview with the advancement project. And then there was the managing team panel that interviewed me, which was followed by the communications team outing. It was basically a really nice opportunity to meet the team and for the team of communications folk here to meet me. After that, there was a lunch set up with the executive director, which again, really great opportunity to understand all the different roles in the organization and who I would be working with and understand the personalities and ask them questions as well. And then after that lunch, there was another little coffee with the executive director. So there were several interviews and conversations as part of the process. But, you know, I held tight. When it did get to about 3 months, I started to get impatient, but it was all for positive stuff. So it worked out.
What do you think made the biggest difference as you went through that process and in your eventual success? Because that is, 3 months is a long time, and there were a lot of steps you had to go through. What do you think made you stand out as a candidate?
I feel like me being very comfortable during all those interviews and meetings, I think that was helpful. And I think I was comfortable because I knew the issue, and the more I got to learn about the different roles and people at the organization, I became very at ease with the idea of transitioning into full-time work. I felt as though it would have just been a good fit. So I was willing to be patient enough to wait it out. And again, based on my experience in the field, I thought that they saw that I could speak clearly about the issue. I felt as though they were interested in someone who understood both sides of communications, the public relations piece and the journalism piece, of which I have experience in. And I also feel like they understood that through my passion showed through the blog that I talked about, in addition to my dedication to the field of communications, is what helped me to get the position.
You know, what's striking as you tell your story, Zerline, is I don't hear you say, and maybe you did do this, that you filled out a formal job application. What I'm hearing is that you created content that attracted the attention of a leading organization in your field, and that led to a series of informal conversations and then formal meetings and interviews. But you didn't actually reply to an ad, did you?
That is correct. And in fact, I actually saw the job announcement several months prior to being contacted about it. I noticed it, but I wasn't interested in the position. And then someone told me about it, and I considered it, and I was like, nope, I'm okay. But then when I got that phone call, that's when I became interested. And, you know, a lot of positions now, there's not an official application. And I feel like the application process is, at least in this particular case, LinkedIn. You know, it may be very much a long-form, long-term application. But in the meantime, you know, you're still making connections. So, you know, with me posting articles, reposting other people's content, you know, kind of bragging about some of the stuff that I was doing or the things that I've done, I was doing for other people as part of a contracting arrangement. That, in essence, was my application. So folks could see in real time what I was doing, where I was appearing, how my work and my skills were being utilized. And they could also see how I was able to promote those items, which is a part of, you know, the job expectation here.
It's a great story. We always love to close, Zerline, by asking our guests about their number one job hunting tip. What would you offer our listeners?
Wow, number one job hunting tip. It's the best cover letter, writing the best cover letter you can, I think. If you're able to tell your story, answer all the questions that they are, in essence, asking you in that job description, I think you can have a successful job hunt. I feel like explaining the fact that, you know, the type of person you are in that cover letter, explaining your field of expertise, explaining some of the things that you have done successfully in previous positions is really what it takes.
That's terrific advice. Zerline, thanks for sharing your story. You can learn more about Zerline's job search by visiting maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories like Zerline's. Every Friday, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found their dream job. Go to maxlist.org advancementprojectsnational.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.